live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Hey, you know, we were talking about those mood rings. Well, they're not actually stones. They're more liquid crystals. That's how they're able to change their colors based on the heat of the body. How about that? When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls, but also talk with Shelley Keir about past life regression. And also, listen to this now, future memories. Just what the heck could those be? Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, along with Dr. Shelley Keir. Shelley, let's talk a little bit of your work with past life regression and future memories before we go to the rest of the calls. Tell me a little bit about this. Did you ever experience anything weird, bizarre with some of the people you worked with?
That's a daily occurrence, George.
Really? Tell me.
There's just so much. Gosh. I mean, I guess everybody who comes in is just a little bit different. Let me think. I'm trying to draw into consciousness.
And while you're doing that, you are convinced that they're having these past life experiences?
That is a really good question. I guess I believe that we have lived before, and I do believe in past lives, but it was not something that I always believed until I had my first regression. And when people come into the office, all I can tell you is that in a state of hypnosis, with the right coaching, people will go into past, what we can call past life experiences. And they seem to, like, the purpose of it, and even Edgar Casey said that, is not just so I can tell you that I was a gunslinger in the 1800s, but why does that information impact the current life that I'm living? Like, what lessons did I learn back then, and how is that going to improve the things that I'm going through right now? And so, to me, it really is a tool. But even Edgar Casey had said, you know, that maybe it could fall under the realm of what Edgar Casey called the Akashic Record, that there may be a record of everything that has been and everything that will be, and maybe that in hypnosis, in a state of trance, people are able to tap into that realm that Carl Jung would call the collective consciousness. But there's something really interesting that happens to the person when you take them back into that place. It's as if they can create a little story about who they used to be, and then they can tell me, you know, why does this that happened when I was a Roman Viking or whatever, why does this apply to the things that I'm doing right now?
See, and what I find remarkable too, Shelley, is when you get cases of, let's say, a little kid, and also he starts playing concertos or speaking a language in a different tongue, and then, you know, he's convinced that he was someone else in another life, and these are small children as well. I mean, how do you explain that, other than to agree that maybe this person was in a different life?
I don't think there's any other way to explain that. There was a case they never really would let me work with the girl. She was walking into churches, and every time she would walk into churches, she would start screaming and crying and flailing around and breaking into a rash, like they'd be going to a wedding or, you know. And you've got to know that things like that come from some other dimension of reality. One of the most interesting cases I had was a man who was 45 years old, and his entire adult life, or his entire life really, he'd been afraid of the dark. And not to the point where every light in the house had to be on, but at night he said he had to have a bright light and it would be shining into his room and he'd have to have lights on throughout the house. And in one session, he comes into the office, and to me it's about taking the person back to the source event where this mm-hmm. happened. And I don't care whether it happened in this lifetime or whether it happened, you know, in the days of the ancient Egyptians, just as long as we go back to that source event and clear it out at that level. And what that guy discovered was he zapped back to a life in the 1700s where he experienced himself as a little boy who, I guess he lived in a big house and there was a big cellar and his parents weren't home, so he opens the door and he started to go down in the cellar to see what was there, but he fell down the stairs and landed at the bottom of the staircase, didn't die or anything, but he was locked in there and no one knew where he was for many hours.
Oh.
And so in the realm of, like, how I've kind of expanded it into parallel universe research is to kind of take that traumatic experience in the past life and create a new universe or a new reality. And so I had him walk through the entire scene again. But this time he goes down a step and he sees that in the 1700s, I figured they didn't have electricity, right? So there was a candle there. I had him imagine there was a candle. He was going to light the candle. It was going to illuminate the staircase. And then he told me about walking down the stairs and looking in the basement and seeing all of his dad's stuff, which is why he was going there in the first place. And then he walked back up the stairs and then he came out. And some 7 or 8 months later, the guy calls me on the phone and says, I have never had a problem with that again since that one session. And that's how powerful it is. And you hear these stories of people who have miraculous healings after past life regression work.
All right, we'll talk about future memories at the half, but let's go back to some more calls. People have been on hold for a long time. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, are you talking to me?
I think I am. Where are you calling from?
Oh, my name is Alice, and I'm calling from the Minneapolis area.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, hey. That's me. I'm a retired medical person and kind of gotten into a second healing career doing energy work. I did it more or less secretly for many years. I did anesthesia for a long, long time in my real life. And I'm happy to report that Western medicine is waking up to energy work. And it's really nice to see. And I'm just fascinated by this entire program tonight and wanted to ask Shelley about a couple of stones and minerals that I use. I wear 2 stones that are definitely vibration boosters, phenakite and moldavite. And then I also use a stone called a Super 7 in some of the healing work that I do, and real genuine Vogel quartz crystals. And I can listen and see what your guest has to say, if anything, about those different stones.
All right. You familiar with those stones, Shelley?
I am. I am. First, you mentioned phenakite.
Yes.
That stone has a connection with the Pleiades. And, you know, many of us, including myself, believe that there are other dimensional beings, including those from the Pleiades, who are here right now assisting us in making a vibrational shift on this planet so that the whole place doesn't blow up. Moldavite is, it's a meteor that fell to the ground in Czechoslovakia. And they believe that this is the only true extraterrestrial material. Like, they really have identified this material. They don't know what it's made out of. It looks like a green glass, and it is very, very powerful. And I talk about it in the first book, Gemstone Journeys, that this moldavite serves as like an antenna. Like, I think George and I talked about that earlier, like an antenna saying, hello, everyone, I'm here, brothers in space, you know, beam me up. And it seems to work as some kind of an extraterrestrial tracking device. And I don't mean that as in an implant way, but I believe that there are extraterrestrial beings who are here assisting us at this time. And that is a very powerful stone. When you meditate with it, It reminds me of like an espresso bean. You know when you eat those chocolate-covered espresso beans and you get a real charge, and it just kicks a lot of energy into the system, into a more state of cosmic awareness. It's very, very powerful. And so you obviously have some ET stuff going on. The Vogel crystals, oh my gosh, I just love these. These are, I don't remember the whole history right off the top of my head, but there was a man who channeled this, Marcel Vogel. He discovered this way of cutting these crystals according to sacred geometrical patterns. And that's another whole thing, that when we introduce a sacred geometrical pattern into the energetic field, such as the Merkaba, which is the three-dimensional Star of David, then it also creates a healing in the energetic system, because the energetic system begins to emulate that of the perfection of the geometry. And because everything in the universe is also made up of these geometrical patterns, when we work with those in healing, they are very, very powerful. So if you're using Vogel crystals, it's aligning you with higher dimensions of sacred geometry, which is what the Palladians are about, and which are what some of the higher level beings are about right now. So to me, it just tells me that you must be doing some really high level work, and I would say keep it up.
Great, thanks. Appreciate that. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
My name's Emmy, and I'm from Houston, Texas.
Hi, Emmy. Go ahead.
I had two questions, actually. I was curious if your guest has discovered any similarities with what Edgar Cayce attributed the properties, the healing powers of certain gemstones, with what is like the standard. It's like, I understand quartz crystal is supposed to help clear the conscious mind, but in her research, I was just wondering if she found that there were different principles.
So that which has been written about before, does that coincide with what Cayce says?
Basically, yeah.
In some instances, yes, it does. And that's a really good question, because I was mentioning earlier tonight that I don't like to always read other people's mineral books, because I do think that, you know, I don't want to be influenced by that or whatever. But if I write a book and then I go back later and compare what I've said about the mineral to what somebody else has said, sometimes what we find is that I didn't know that, yes, the other person had the same experience. And if you are familiar with the work of Drenvalo Melchizedek in The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life, one of the many of the bazillions of things that he's talking about there is that around the planet, this is his way of putting kind of some of the things we've been talking about tonight, that there may be an energetic grid, so that there's an energetic grid that allows a quartz crystal to even be in existence, or there's an energetic grid that allows an oak tree to be in existence. And so potentially, could it be that we are truly tuning in to the wavelength that is created by this physical manifestation? It's kind of like the 100 monkey syndrome, that if I'm a little monkey and I learn how to wash a piece of fruit, and then once I show 100 monkeys how to do it, then suddenly on the other side of the world, monkeys suddenly know how to wash fruit. Now, how is that? It's because they've tapped into that unified field, or the grid, or whatever we want to call it. And so I can say that, yes, Cayce's work does emulate that of others, sometimes, sometimes not, you know. But yeah, there's definitely something to that, and that is a really good question, so thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. Appreciate that. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Hi there. Snap that in for us. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello? Is there anybody there?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Rhoda. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I happened to actually stumble upon the conversation on this particular station by accident. I was just channel surfing, and I heard you talking about this healing through gems and minerals. And I perked my ears up. I said, well, let me take a listen to see what they're talking about. And I came in right on a conversation where I heard Shelley say something about when someone is sick, and if conventional medicines aren't working, you tend to look for answers elsewhere. And that's pretty much in the position I'm in right now, because for all of Western medicine's advances and everything, it's like it seems like it's also tends to be corrupt to a degree. And it doesn't seem like that for what I'm going through with the various illness that I have, that it's not going to, in the long run, be very helpful. So I had questions and some comments in regards to the healing of gems. I remember earlier in the conversation, Shelley was saying that some people find themselves attracted to certain stones or certain minerals. And I remember when I was very little, I used to be attracted to quartz crystals and also to marble. But marble is, that's not exactly a gem or anything, but, and I don't know what you would classify that as, but is there anything to that, like to marble?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's actually mentioned in the Bible. And when you think about marble flooring is adorning, you know, some of the wealthiest homes and palaces today, but it's been used for eons and eons. You know, the ancient Greeks,
sure.
You know, the Romans. And so what I'm kind of getting about you is that you're tapping into some past life, maybe in some of those times. I'm going to say definitely in biblical times, but potentially also in ancient Greece, and that there's a reason why you're drawn to that.
Okay, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from 29 Palms, California.
Well, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say, Shelley, thank you for being so open-minded. You don't seem to have a developed opinion on one certain thing like a lot of people do. But anyways, I had a question. Was Edgar Cayce... wasn't he pretty vague on the idea of past lives?
That's a good question. Edgar Cayce, after his own illness and his discovery of his own abilities, what happened was initially many, many people started coming to him with health problems. And then one day, several years later, somebody came and said, well, you know, why am I here? I mean, what is all this about? And started asking, like, bigger picture questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the source that spoke through him then began to channel, or whatever we want to call this, bring through this information about this person's past life, saying, well, you were a monk in a past life, and started telling him this stuff. And Edgar Cayce was, the man, was very, very distressed about this, because this was completely, I mean, when we know about Edgar Cayce, he was a biblical scholar, he was a devout Christian, and this really flew in the face of everything that he had been taught. And really, a lot of the people who do past life work now, I mean, it was something that, until I really experienced it, I never really thought about past lives. I mean, if we grew up in India, that might be different, but in the Western world, you know, if you talk to Brian Weiss or any of these people who are doing regressions today, usually it was a profound experience that even got them thinking in this way. And so over the course of time, Cayce was guided by that source to begin researching the Bible and reading the Bible in a new way, keeping an open framework that potentially some things in the Bible could support the theories of reincarnation, and eventually he came to accept it. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't easy. And they claim that maybe there could have been readings that were never documented, that were about past lives, that occurred much earlier than the earliest documented ones, because potentially they didn't want to record those, because they were like, hey, we don't deal with that. We just deal with health problems, you know. And so it's really, really interesting.
Okay, good. Thanks for that. Appreciate your call there, too. Well, when we come back, we'll finish up with our final phone calls for Shelley Kerr. If you need to look at her website, it's galactichealing.org. That's simple to remember. It's already linked up to coasttocoastam.com. If you need to email me, that's easy, too. That's george@coasttocoastam.com as well. Our next guest, by the way, tomorrow on Coast to Coast will be none other than David Icke. So get ready for that one. And then Friday, of course, we'll be into our special open lines as well. So I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep. everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away into the magic night.
Subscribe to After Dark. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore.
Live from somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
And with our special guest tonight, Dr. Shelley Kerr, as we talk about Edgar Cayce and these incredible gemstones and the power, the energy that you get from some of those, and some other things that Mr. Cayce has talked about in his past. We'll be back with more final questions in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Final calls, final segment with our guest, Shelley Kerr. Shelley, do you travel much in the kind of work you do?
All the time.
Do you? Because I know, yeah. I met you in San Francisco. Where else do you go? What's up? What's on your plate?
Right now, I'm in New York. I'm going to the Book Expo this weekend. And then next weekend, I'll be in Pensacola, Florida, teaching some workshops at the Unity Church and at a really neat group called Unlimited Horizons that study extraterrestrial activities. Then I'll be going to Portland, Oregon the weekend after that to teach at New Renaissance Bookstore, and then down to Eugene, and then, let's see, then going to Denver, Colorado at the end of the month, and then through Albuquerque and down to the Roswell UFO Festival.
Oh, that's always great.
I have not been, so I am really looking forward to this. I'm going to give a talk on Beyond Reality. And sign books and run around and all that.
What are you more of an expert in? Are you more of an expert in the gemstones area or the beyond the reality type?
I think probably the gems. I guess the parallel universe thing is more about the state of the altered states of consciousness. I guess it's a combination of both. But the thing that I've been doing longer is the gems and minerals.
All right, let's go back to the phones and take east of the Rockies, first of all. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome. And where are you?
Hello, hello, Tennessee. Rockwood,
okay.
Tennessee.
Sure thing. Go ahead.
I was wanting to ask, she had mentioned the blue stones and the red stones. I was wondering what the basic powers of, like, the diamonds and emeralds are, and the quicksilvers, the silver metals, what, you know, their properties were. And this is, like, a subject near and dear to my heart. Edgar Cayce is the... when I was introduced to that, Edgar Cayce, it kind of opened up the whole realm of everything for me, the studies into the natural healing and the medicines and everything. So this is really a treat getting to hear this lady.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Yes, thanks. You asked about the diamonds and the emeralds, and these are both stones that were found in the Bible and potentially in the breastplate of the high priest of Judea, which this is a big scholarly debate that's going on right now as to what the exact identity of these stones is. And the book gets into some of that debate. But diamonds are a carbon-based mineral, and you, as a physical human being, are made out of carbon also. So diamonds are good for... reconnecting dormant strands of DNA. There's a theory out there that within the human body that there are extra strands of DNA that are not currently being utilized, and so diamonds are a way that we can help facilitate the process and use more of our DNA. Emeralds are actually vibrating at the same frequency as the green ray, and so it's very powerful for opening up the heart center. But also, any green mineral is going to be good for physical pain, like arthritis or any kind of joints or bone disorders. And some people believe that emerald is one of the most powerful healing stones on the planet. And a lot of people are very, very interested in this. An interesting fact about emeralds is that in ancient Egypt, they were said to have used emeralds, but now that geologists have gone back to really research this, they don't think that those were emeralds in ancient Egypt. They think it was actually a beryl, because emerald is in the family of minerals called beryl, and beryl is actually a less pure form of emerald. Beryls, I've got some of those pictured in the, talked about and pictured in the Cayce book as well. Beryl is really good for... helping, like, the kidneys and the liver and the spleen and the pancreas, like, eliminate toxins from the system. And so they're saying now that they really believe that beryls were used in ancient Egypt, and that when they analyzed some of the crown jewels from Iran, which were supposedly emeralds from what they thought was the Egyptian area, they finally realized that, no, those were actually Colombian emeralds, because most of the true, pure emeralds was coming out of Colombia, even in the very earliest of days. And so, interesting thing.
Interesting.
To know,
and, of course,
powerful.
with a diamond, Shelley, I don't know of one woman who isn't happy wearing a diamond. So maybe it's got some kind of properties there that do that. What do you think?
I think it does. I mean, aside from the fact, of course, you know, women love them. But I really do think that there is something to this that's beyond the physical.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Danny from Visalia in Avila Beach, California. You had mentioned that your friend got bit by a spider, and Edgar Cayce had a reading on which sounded like a small brown spider, a recluse.
Yes, you're right about that. Yep.
You already talked about it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah.
No, that's okay. No, I got a lot of fast blasts and emails about
that. Oh,
great.
Okay. It's the oil of smoke. There was an extract of some type of extract from coal, and the whole reading got involved. Did they tell you about that? How they told them what drugstore to go to and where to get it, and they couldn't find it. And then they wrote a letter back and said it's behind the blue bottle, and they finally got it.
That's great.
Okay, yeah, it's a real interesting story. Okay, there is a company, Bar, B-A-A-R, that has a lot of his products. I don't know if he has that, but it supposedly retards the deterioration of the flesh. But when you had mentioned your friend had gotten bit, I guess a lot of us wanted to...
Oh, yeah,
share
he was in bad shape. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Yeah, okay,
that.
And Shelley mentioned about, he was conflicted about his Christianity. You know, he used to teach Sunday school and had Bible classes, and a lot of his information came from the readings from the Bible class, the Bible studies they would have, and so a lot of the readings show up with that. And what he did, he channeled his higher self. He was offered to be channeled by other entities, and he refused it. He said, you know, because he was leery of it, but he wanted us to get in touch with our higher selves and our God consciousness. And, okay, thanks a lot then.
Okay, appreciate you being on the program indeed. Thanks for the statement. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. Hi there. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you both for taking my call. I didn't get to hear the whole program tonight, and I was looking so forward to it. So I hope I don't ask you anything that you've already talked about. Perhaps you'll stop me. I had someone, a psychic healer lady, work on a foot of mine. I had broken 7 bones, and I had a ruptured tendon in it. Yeah. Anyway, she took me to, I just went into a room, and she talked low and everything, and she did use the white light and Christ light, and she also said that I should use the violet flame and the silver flame. And I woke up kind of hearing her calling my name. She says, come back now, you can do it really slowly, but you have to come back now. And she said she took me to the blue plane, which was of healing. And my mother had just passed recently, and she said she was there also before she was able to move on. That was nice. I was able to
Okay, I'm going to restrict you, though, dear. I need a question, okay?
The question I would like to know is, she did mess around with my chakras, and what about the blue plane? And also, she told me to use dark greens and light greens.
All right, I'll let you listen on the radio. Shelley, can you elaborate on statement in question?
I know the violet flame is sometimes used in healing because it brings forth the energy of Saint Germain. And Saint Germain is tied with Mount Shasta, which is, according to some people, the lost continent of Lemuria, was at least in part in the area of Mount Shasta. And I have used the violet flame personally. Let's say you're in a crowd and you feel like somebody's sending you some negativity or somebody's just getting you off track or whatever, you can imagine a violet flame going over and just relaxing them, and it's kind of like sending them a blessing almost, and it does, it calms the person down. And the times that I've used it, it's another example of how your thoughts control reality. But if somebody's asking somebody to go like out into a blue plane, if you bring forth, like let's say you go into a meditation and you imagine yourself engulfed in like a blue light or a peaceful blue light, that's going to bring like emotional healing. Blue is connected with the water, and that's dealing with the emotions. It's going to calm you down. I mean, that's another realm of the fundamentals of vibrational medicine that we're talking about that can be used through gems. Like blue gems bring forth the color blue, but there's been many, many studies about the profound impacts the different colors have on people. If green is being recommended to the person, then that's for some kind of healing, maybe opening heart, but also maybe alleviating physical pain, which I think you said you had. One thing that's really interesting to do that I talk about in the Gemstone Journeys is that you can actually make a color elixir, or you could take like a sun tea jar, like what you put your iced tea in, but instead of putting a tea bag inside, you could take some of that cellophane, like a piece of green cellophane, and you could wrap it around the sun tea jar, let the sun shine down on that, and you create like green water or yellow water. Like yellow water would deal with the stomach aches and stomach problems. Green water is good for the heart. Red water could be good for some female problems, like another caller had, or circulation issues. And you can also make gem elixirs where you could put a crystal inside the sun tea jar. And the reason why that works is because the crystals have holograms, just like you and I do. They have subtle energy fields. And when the rays of the sun shine down and energetically absorb the holographic impression of that crystal, it's like you're drinking the highest level vibrational frequency of the crystalline structure, and it creates physical healing in the body.
Shelley, what is science, by the way? What is science doing with all of this? Are they touching this stuff at all? I mean, because if these properties are real, and I have no reason to doubt that they aren't, why aren't they jumping on board with this?
In quantum physics, I don't think they've quite put it together, but they're moving in that direction, because quantum physics is saying that there is a hologram of you that is residing outside of you. But the difference between who you are physically and who your hologram is that your hologram is how you would be if you were in perfect health and you had no energetic blockages like the ones we were talking about earlier. And so I believe that gems and minerals and color and metals are vibrational remedies that create a bridge between my physical body and my more perfect etheric or holographic body. Because when I can tap into the blueprint of perfection and bring that into the physical body, then the physical body can heal itself from head to toe, in my opinion, without the use of drugs completely.
Okay.
Because
thanks.
We have that innately.
Next up, Wildcard Line, your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's your positive thinking friend, college student from Modesto, California.
Well, hello there.
Hey, I had a question for Dr. Carrot, and it's actually more of a comment. You were just talking about it, actually, and I just finished a semester in quantum physics, and there's such a thing as matter waves, and that you've been talking a lot about frequencies, and I think that it truly does go down to the atom level and actually the electron level, that there's such a thing, I don't know, you're talking how a lot of polarity and such, but I think it might actually be having to do with light, the sunlight. And there's such a thing as the photoelectric effect, in which sunlight at certain frequencies is able to give off electrons on certain metals. And I don't know necessarily how it would work on quartz. I haven't looked into it. And that's what my question was for Dr. Kerr. What, in which George just asked you, what causes these certain materials at in a physics sense, to allow one to take these energies in, that perhaps it could be the photoelectric effect, that these electrons, as they gain energy, they shoot off. Is there certain places that you're supposed to put these metals, your pocket, near your chest, and a necklace? Possibly that's what's causing these. And I guess I'll just take it off the air, George.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Appreciate you being on the program. Go ahead, Shelley.
Okay, that's a really good information. What comes to mind, if you all have, I'm sure you have, you've seen this book called Messages from Water.
Oh, yeah, with Dr. Emoto.
Right, with Dr. Emoto. And what he's done is he's photographed consciousness in water, like when we send love to the water or we send bad negativity to the water, and how it recreates reality. And in my opinion, it has to do something with quantum physics and the observer effect, that when I observe something, then my consciousness affects it. And so if you think of the physical body, and we know that the physical body is primarily made up of water, and so when we bring consciousness to that, then of course it's going to heal us. Or it's, you know, it's like if I send you, if I give you a compliment today and it makes you feel good, it really does send something to you. And, you know, sometimes people are sending you things that really aren't as good. And so to me, it's kind of an observer effect thing. And I don't know if that adequately answers his question or not.
Okay.
But
well,
I hope
that's
so.
Pretty darn good. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Sherry.
Yeah, hi.
I have MS, and I've been doing a lot of alternative therapies. The water thing is absolutely true, doing good affirmations over water. I believe that. But I've been doing some things with meditation and gemstones, and I'm real sensitive. And I have a real reaction to an amethyst. If, like, a big amethyst or something is too close to me, oh, I have to back way off. And I just wondered if you could explain maybe what that reaction is from.
I'm so glad you called, because this is an area that I'm really, really interested in, is that through the ages, during certain times, we see people who are being afflicted with certain types of illnesses. And if you think about the last 5 years in particular, there are so many people who have been affected by different disorders of the nervous system. Not only MS, but we're talking about Parkinson's or Bell's palsy or any of these. And in my opinion, they're part of the reason why these disorders occur is because the physical body is having a hard time adjusting to the magnetic frequency changes that are going on around the planet. And gems and minerals and other modalities that we can use, to me, are helping the person to better align or to maybe facilitate their alignment with these ever-changing magnetic frequencies. And when you mention an amethyst, when we're looking at the rainbow spectrum and in the realm of the chakras, the amethyst is the carrier of the purple ray, so it opens up the third eye and the crown of the head. It's a higher frequency than many of the other stones. And so if it makes you go, whoa, I got to back away from you, even though you don't want to pick that up, I'm going to say try to work with the stone. Because at first it may be overwhelming, but what it's going to do is it's going to shake your physical body kind of and bring the vibrational frequency around your body up. And by raising the frequency of the body, then the body is able to store more energy or hold more light. You know, I've thought a lot about when I do hypnotic regressions or work with people on emotional issues, I'm having them visualize their cells as open and full of light. And I think that the more you can picture that, then you can bring greater amounts of peace into the physical body.
Very good. Thank you so much, Shelley, for being on the program. Appreciate it. Well, that wraps it up for now. For Dan Galani, Steve Carr, Nikki Imbrinoni, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.